For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Martin McCloskey on fire. This is Mark McCloskey on fire.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. This is Mark McCloskey, Mark McCloskey on fire. You know, every week I start off with basically the same topic, and that is that if you believe any word that's told to you by the mainstream media, whether they are reporting for Republicans or Democrats, whether it's Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, if you believe any word they say, you need to have your head examined these days, because absolutely everything that you're told in the media is a lie. And by the way, if you say the truth, if you tell the truth on air, on Twitter, on X these days, on Facebook, it's actually a crime these days to tell the truth in public in the United States of America with a First Amendment. And, you know, one of the things that gets you in the most trouble these days and gets you banned off of X in the old days, gets you banned off of Facebook now, and I got my station banned off of YouTube here, is talking about election integrity and election fraud. Now, my wife and I had the pleasure of being on the Trump campaign back in 2020, and we experienced it personally. And we also had the pleasure of, as a result of being on the Trump campaign, being briefed every once in a while by those folks that are older and wiser than we are and have had more experience in what's really going on in the world. We are very fortunate today to have one of those folks that used to give us our regular briefings, and a guy who's had enormous amount of experience. He's a three-star general, Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney, a fellow who graduated from the United States Military Academy, from George Washington University in International Affairs, went to the War College, went to the Armed Forces Staff College, was a, I think, flew 400 plus missions when he was in the Air Force, and was a major player in our defense of this country. And then after his retirement, has been very influential in trying to reverse what seems to be the inevitable destruction of our freedoms and trying to preserve this republic. So welcome to the program, Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney.
Thank you very much for having me, Mark.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. I mean, I never thought that I would live long enough to see this country have a thing called a disinformation governance board, have major elements of our government actively engaged in censorship, and then actively engaged in the theft of elections and the destruction of the electoral process. But, you know, I've seen it personally, and I know you have too. And I just got done, I'll go ahead and show the audience a copy of your most recent work. This is called Invisible Treason in America. And it's not so invisible anymore, General. We see it out in front of us every day now.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we see it in New York City with what they're doing to Donald J. Trump. That is absolutely ridiculous. And it's all related, Mark. Everything we're talking about, from the election to the court appearances that President Trump has had to make, and all these things are all this part of a game plan of a group of Americans aided by internationalists and the Chinese People's Republic that are trying to take our democracy away from us. And they've done a pretty good job so far.
Yeah, you know, and every day I wake up and I see the new news, and every day it's Russia, Russia, Russia. You got to hate those Russians. And the way we can show how much we hate Russia is by giving our money to Ukraine, the logic of which has always escaped me. But my favorite thing right now is that everybody's all up in arms about this Alexei Navalny, who dies in the labor colony up in Siberia. And everybody says, now we have to go to war. We've got to do whatever we can to punish Vladimir Putin for the death of this Russian dissident. Well, how many political prisoners do we hold in this country? How many political prisoners have died under suspicious circumstances in this country? And yet all of a sudden the media not just the mainstream media, but Fox, Newsmax, everything, uniform outrage over the death of this one Russian dissident. Seems like hypocrisy is now the norm in this country.
Absolutely. You're spot on. And the fact is they're deliberately trying to create this chaos and create these problems with the Russians, with Hamas, with the Houthis. All this is deliberate and was laid in there. This is not an accident. It would not have happened under President Trump. I guarantee you that.
And, you know, FDR said that if it happens in politics, it's not a coincidence. And, you know, we're kicking the ant mound in every direction right now, trying to create a war with Russia. And I saw an RFK Jr. on an interview this morning or yesterday where he's talking about how we've been provoking the Russians since 1992. And how when the Soviet Union collapsed, instead of inviting them into the West and doing what we did to Europe after World War II, we intentionally drove them away and drove them closer to the Chinese to create an adversary that did not need to exist.
I believe that.
So tell us a little bit about, I know from experience and from conversations that we had when back in 2020, tell us about the election of 2020 and what the deep state did to harpoon Donald Trump.
Well, that's very important. You know, I don't normally look in the rearview mirror and dwell a lot there. I like to look out at the front cockpit windscreen and see what's the future. But if we do not understand what happened in 2020, because it replicated itself in 2023, it replicated itself last week in New York in that local election, and it's going to replicate itself 2024. And if it does, Mark, then we're finished. We have lost this democracy. It's that critical. Now, I got in it as by accident. I first was informed in 2017, March 19th. I was going to do a show on Sunday, and Admiral Ace Lyons, who is no longer with us, called me and told me about a signals intelligence program and that they were listening to the Trump campaign. Now, remember, Trump had just been in office 2 months now, almost to the day, and they were listening to what he was doing now, using our intelligence to do that. And so I went on the air to the Dr. Dave Janda's show and mentioned it just in passing and kind of left it there. But that was the start of the way the administration under Trump, what the swamp was doing to him. And it turns out 2 days before the election in 2020, on the 1st of November 2020, I got a call, of course, and it said that they were going to steal the 2020 election from President Trump. And I listened to him. And it was a good source, Mark. I went on, I was able to get in touch with Rudy Giuliani, and he had Sidney Powell with him. And I went on the 2nd of November, the day before the election. That would be a Monday, the first Tuesday in November. Then the 3rd of November, 2020 was the election. Mm-hmm. And I announced that the election was going to be stolen using cyber warfare. And I didn't know how or specifically, but they were going to use an American intelligence tool called Hammer and Scorecard that was a special access program that I have never been in briefed on, but it's public record because the chap in it, Chris Montgomery, became a whistleblower, turned it into the FBI in 2015, December. And I didn't have all these specifics at the time. And I mentioned that it was probably being used out of a CIA site at Fort Washington, Maryland. Little did I know, Mark, that someone had given it or sold it, and I believe sold it, and I believe I know who it is, to the Chinese communists. And lo and behold, as it went on, we know what happened on the night of the 3rd, around 11 o'clock, somewhere between 9 and 11 o'clock. You remember, five or six of the battleground states quit counting their votes. Interesting.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, with delays and ballots coming in, all the mail-in ballots, we had a pandemic going on, COVID-19. We all remember that. That was not a pandemic, Mark. That was a deliberate biological attack in the United States by the Chinese Communist Party. Nobody disputes that it came out of Wuhan. Nobody disputes now that it came out of the Wuhan virology lab. Initially, Dr. Fauci said, well, it came out of a bat market and laid all this stuff. He no longer says that. And of course, now there's tremendous amounts of effort that the vax has killed more people than COVID-19.
And you know, but, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I mean, the fact that we now know that the United States was spending our tax dollars to do gain-of-function research on viruses in communist China to weaponize this, to create this bioweapon to use to kill people all over the world. And they already had issued the patent on the vaccine, so-called vaccine, before the virus was ever launched upon the world. So they create the problem. They create the alleged cure. The cure ends up killing more people than the problem. And the United States is funding this from the get-go. And once again, on the topic, yeah, I love the title of your book, Invisible Treason in America. That was a form of treason. And nobody, I mean, one of the greatest losses of human life since World War II, and nobody's going to go to jail. Nobody's going to hang at the end of a rope.
Exactly. And by the way, the second biological attack is called fentanyl, and it's deliberately funded, manufactured by the Chinese Communist Party. Surprise.
Yeah.
And what has our administration done about it? Zip, zero. 10 million illegals have come across, and I believe the Democratic Party is getting funded by the cartels.
Well, and vice versa. I mean, and you think about this. We are a Vietnam vet. 58,000 people were killed. 58,000 Americans died in the Vietnam War. Twice that number die every year from opioid overdoses. And where is the outrage? Where are the marches in the streets? Where's the protest? Where's our government? Where are our Republican senators and our Republican representatives? They should all be standing on the Capitol steps screaming that we cannot have this wholesale slaughter of our youth while benefiting the Chinese and the cartels.
Mark, we are losing young Americans at the same rate the height of World War II that killed in Africa. It's more than 100,000 now. It's probably up to 200,000, and we're not getting all these figures. But it's rampant. And so all these things are related. And that's why General Paul Vallely and a chap by the name of Ray DiLorenzo and Mary Fanning wrote Invisible Treason. Yeah. And lo and behold, that night it proved that Biden won the six battleground states. And they are Arizona, they are Nevada, they are Michigan, they are Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. Now, I didn't realize that those six states controlled the election, but they do. And in 2016, Trump won all six. In 2020, he lost all six.
Yeah. I'm going to interject here just a little bit, General, because my wife and I did two tours through Pennsylvania on behalf of the president. And the second tour, we were on the Team Trump bus. We were the Team Trump bus, and we were doing seven organized rallies a day. And we'd pull into towns, and the fans would be lining the streets, waving flags and screaming Donald Trump. And the last big rally we did was in eastern Pennsylvania, we drew so many people that the leftist governor, Tom Wolf, shut us down. We did a pop-up rally one county away with no advance work, no publicity, and we had 450 people standing there screaming. Joe Biden was on that same stage 3 weeks later with 3 weeks of advance work and publicity, and he had eight people in the audience, and they want us to believe we lost Pennsylvania.
I rest our case, Mark. And the fact is, why did Pennsylvania have over 200,000 more ballots at the end of the counting than voters in the states?
Just amazing. We were up watching the election returns that night at about 11 o'clock at night, right before they stopped counting. We were 600,000 votes ahead in Pennsylvania. I looked over at Patty and I said, well, we wasted those 2 weeks of our life at campaigning in Pennsylvania. It's going to be a blowout. It's not even going to be close. And I went to bed. And guess what? What I found out when I woke up the next morning.
Exactly. Now, the Democrats are no longer Democrats as we knew them growing up. They are Marxists.
Yeah. Hey, you know, General, I've got to take a hard break here. Can you hang around for the next segment?
Absolutely.
That's General Thomas McInerney, and we'll be right back, folks.
More Mark McCloskey on Fire coming up. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. This is Mark McCloskey on Fire.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with General Thomas McInerney, and we're talking about election fraud. And we were last talking specifically about Pennsylvania, but the same thing happened in five other states right at the exact same time.
Well, you were witness to Pennsylvania, and you know the predominant advantage that Trump had in 2020, yet he lost. And even though they had 200,000 more votes, ballots, excuse me, than voters in the states when it was all in, Vice President Pence did not bring that up on when he could at the Electoral College. But that's why they deliberately let that riot go and created that riot. That was a red flag operation, as we call it, in which the Democratic Party created that problem and created the riot so that the six states that could have been sent back to recount. Now, let's look at this, Mark. If Joe Biden won 81 million votes, the most of any president in the history of America, would he be demanding an audit to prove it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have spent, our estimate, over $100 million preventing any audits of any of those battleground states. Now, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, yeah.
And, but I think Americans now see that he's a doofus. He can't get off the stage. He can't talk. It's embarrassing to call a president that. But look at how he's performed in the last 3 years. No president, no chief executive in the history of mankind has let 10 million people come across the open borders in 3 years in their reign.
And intentionally give up energy independence and destroy our you know, when Donald Trump was president, we had a military which was respected and feared around the world. And now, who's afraid of a guy that gets direction from the Easter Bunny?
Exactly.
And by the way, just to be fair to sleepy Uncle Joe, he may be 80 years old, but how old are you now, General? You're what, 86?
86.
Yeah. And so you don't, it's not a matter of age. When the media says, oh, when they poll people saying, are you too, do you think that Trump, that Biden is too old to be president? The only reason they phrase a question that way is because Trump is not that much younger. But it's not the age, it's how well your brain works.
Exactly. And the fact is, his brain isn't working. He's not running a government. Barack Hussein Obama is running our government.
Yeah. Now, we may end up with Mrs. Barack Hussein Obama as the next president, unless we're pretty gosh darn careful.
That is a course of action that is very possible. They clearly are not going to let Harris in that door because they know what a disaster she is. And so it's going to be interesting to see the shift people around. I suspect that Harris will be whispered that she'll be given a Supreme Court or to work for Google or someone, and she'll resign for, quote, health reasons or personal reasons. Mm-hmm. They will put in Michelle or there are others. I think the chap out in California is committing suicide himself with what he's doing and destroying those cities of San Francisco and Los Angeles. And so, but we'll see. They have an alternate game plan. They have already issued the guidance that Joe is not going to run. Now, that's why that report by her came out on his classified material in his garage and in the Pennsylvania Center and all the different places that he had, that he was not authorized to have as a vice president and as a senator, why that report came out that way. You know they have teed this up, and they've told him, Joe, whether you want to or not, you're going, because it's going to be extremely difficult to use cyber warfare. They will use it because they used it in 2022. They used it, I believe, in that election up in New York City. And they clearly did it big time in 2022. When you look at why didn't Dr. Oz protest his loss? He had 330,000 votes stolen from him. And you can go and talk about Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake's the only one fighting it. And they are continuing to use this technology, cyber warfare, because the Republican Party has not demanded audits. Every mail-in ballot should have an audit. Artificial intelligence will be able to do this automatically for us, Mark. But the fact is, we've got to go back to each person has a piece of paper. He has an identification. We come out with the election that night. We don't give him this chance to manipulate and did what they did down in Georgia. You know, when they closed it down, they started pulling suitcases from underneath the desks and stuffing them in. Yeah. So this mail-in ballots driven by COVID-19 was the forerunner. And then they use the card. That's the last minute final display. Now, let me read from you in our book just the number of votes, because it's important that people understand what they did and how they did it. With all the mail-in ballots that were corrupt, they never did any audits on them. But Arizona, for instance, had 284,412 votes switched from Trump to Biden. Nevada had 4,099 votes switched from Trump to Biden. Wisconsin had 195,755 votes switched to Biden. Michigan had, which is interesting, also 195,755 switched to Biden.
What a coincidence.
Where you were, had 103,674 votes switched to Biden. Georgia had 14,954 votes. All that happened after the polls closed on 3 November, early morning of 4 November. That's how they won. And that's how you use cyber, because they can't adjust in real time all the mail-in ballots. So they've got to know, and that's why they stopped the voting. The cyber reaches in to the server. That's called Hammer does that, like your iPhone. And then they have an application like you have in your airline, whatever it is. They press it. It goes in, and it measures the difference, how many votes Trump was ahead. And then using software, they switch those votes by the amount that I read. And they keep it within 2%, so it's close. And everybody said, well, the battleground states were close. They teed this up to a fare thee well, and they're very clever. But unless you demand it, which we should be, and that's with Roland McDaniel, why they are the national media are not doing it. Yet they still had more than enough data to prove in a book written by a chap by the name of Joe Freed called Debunked. He went in, he's an auditor, and he audited those states as best as he could. He wasn't able to do an official audit, but he did through various ways. Many of your listeners have listened to Dinesh D'Souza's 2,000 Mules, mm-hmm. in which they were able to use technology and point out the people that went to a drop-in box more than 10 times, and they started tracking them. And they have all that data. And they're able to prove that. Now, the FBI knows exactly who these people are, Mark, because they have their phone numbers. The FBI hasn't gone and questioned them.
Yeah. Well, the FBI is no longer a law enforcement entity. The FBI is merely the enforcement arm of the deep state and the Biden organization, the Obama organization. You know, one thing that I did not know until I read your book yesterday, when we were on the Trump bus, we were told that we had to win the day of election vote by more than 3%. And because that was a fudge value built into the voting machines. And I realized yesterday when I read your book, you had that same number that the Dominion machines will swap the votes, but in packets of 3%. And so just like you said, so they can slip it under so nobody's paying attention. But then the vote got bigger than that, so the 3% wouldn't work. That's why they had to shut off the count at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and it was so blatant, Mark, that it would be very easy to audit. It was so corrupt. They were going to win no matter what happened. It was that blatant. As we know, down in Georgia, they got pictures of them pulling out the suitcases from underneath the desk and stuffing in the ballots. So this is the challenge that we face. Republicans, you can talk about people going out and voting and all that. It's not who votes, it's who counts the votes. Famous words of Joseph Stalin, who counts the votes? That's what the Democrats have focused on. Mm-hmm. And they have committed, and the reason the 2020 election is so important, they have committed high treason. And that is Barack Hussein Obama and Joe Biden were aware when this was stolen from the CIA, Special Access Program, and the question of who sold it or gave it to the Chinese communists, because they were the ones that implemented it. So we had a foreign entity that put in all those votes. Joe Biden. We had a foreign entity, the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, that did that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They... Joe Biden. Now, you wonder why Hunter was taking those $1 million and why the Chinese were giving it to him. And you wonder why Biden has not done anything to the trade, all the limitations. The Chinese own Joe Biden. And I believe that George and Comer are going to. And that will be one of the outcomes that is going to be so evident. But it all goes back to the election. And that's why the 2020 election could use the same role model, not nearly as bad, but they kept the Senate by doing that. The Republicans actually won 6 Senate seats, but they didn't protest it and do an audit to prove it.
Yeah. And you know, like people talk about recounts, right? But all you do with a recount is recount the ballots that were already counted the first time and fraudulently created. And so it doesn't do any good to do a recount. You have to actually do a full audit to see where those ballots came from, what the machines reported, what, and compare. For example, here in Missouri, we fill out a paper ballot. It gets fed into a machine. The machine tabulates them. But unless you do an audit, you're never going to compare those pieces of paper to the votes that the machine says were cast. And I'm a lawyer. My wife's a lawyer. We win lawsuits all the time based on affidavits. You win at summary judgment based on affidavits, sworn testimony of witnesses. In the election fraud cases, there were some 4,000 affidavits attesting to election fraud, and yet all these corrupt courts said there's no evidence of election fraud. This was the safest and most secure election in the history of the world. They still repeat that as if it's true, and yet 4,000 affidavits, 2,000 mules, and we still hear every day on the press the Trump's baseless claim that there is election fraud. What BS.
Exactly. And of course, election deniers are humiliated and everything. I'm an election denier.
Yeah, well, me too. And then you got poor Rudy Giuliani. I mean, Rudy's a friend of ours too. And here he is, all he's doing, you're talking about suitcases being pulled out from under the table. All he does is say what the evidence shows and what he believes, and some court down in Georgia charged him, well, New York, I guess, or D.C. it got transferred to, $83 million for telling the truth.
Exactly. And that's the corruption that has permeated this country because of that 2020 election. And we've got to stand up. And I hope the truckers are going to do what they say, is not deliver any supplies to New York City based on that decision that they just gave 2 days ago to President Trump.
Wouldn't you love to see all those knee-jerk liberals in New York City going without their Perrier and their caviar and thinking, maybe political persecutions aren't such a good thing after all?
Exactly. We, the American people, are going to take our government back, and we've got to. I'm not going to buy anything from New York's whatever it is, and all Americans ought to start doing this. The fact is, they are corrupt, and it's the Democratic Party, which is not, it's a Marxist party, and they are destroying our Constitution and destroying our republic.
Absolutely. Well, General, I'm going to have to let you go here. We're running up against the end of the segment. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show this afternoon. Hopefully, we'll have you back on. Hopefully, we'll wake some folks up and make everybody stand up and say, we will not be sheep. We'll be a free people, and we're going to pull this republic back.
God bless you, Mark.
God bless you, Captain General. We'll see you down the road.
Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Lieutenant General retired Thomas McInerney, a real patriot, a guy that flew 451 combat missions in Vietnam, was a second in command at the Air Force at the time of his retirement, and a true patriot. And you know, guys like that, you can't make this stuff up. He was on the inside. He's seen it all. He knows it all. And he's out there risking his life and his freedom to tell the truth. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mark McCloskey on Fire. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Mark McCloskey on Fire. This is Mark McCloskey on Fire.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's a difficult world out there, and the powers that be, the deep state, and I include most Republicans in that, just expect us to be the dumbest human beings on the planet and just as thick as bricks, dumb as a sack of hammers, and we're going to believe everything that we're told. And every day we're told how much we have to hate Russia, and I beat this horse to death every week. But the left, the deep state, the Republican Party, Fox News, Newsmax, all the mainstream media keep telling us how we have to hate Russia, hate Russia, hate Russia, and give money to Ukraine. Because Ukraine, of course, is this bastion of democracy, even though Volodymyr Zelensky has outlawed opposing political parties, has unified all the media into one state-run media, has outlawed a Christian sect, is putting all his opposition in prison, and runs that country no different than the People's Republic of China, no different than the old Soviet Union, except that he's probably a more brutal dictator than anybody since Joseph Stalin. And yet this is a person to whom we're giving billions and billions of dollars, along with reporting constantly how the brave Ukrainians are defeating the evil Russians, except that they're not, and how the brave Ukrainians are killing seven Russians for every Ukrainian death, which, of course, they are not. In fact, the numbers are probably the opposite of that, as Colonel McGregor told us here on this program a few weeks ago. But here's the thing. Watch the videos. Every once in a while, they let a video out of what the cities look like in Ukraine now. And it's like Berlin at the end of World War II. The buildings are all burned out. Everything's blown flat. The trees are all gone. It is a scorched earth policy. Hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians dead. Hundreds of thousands of civilians dead. Millions have fled the country. And this is the result of us supplying the Ukrainian military with enough weapons and arms and money that they can keep up this absolutely pointless war, which would never have happened except for the fact that we wanted to create a proxy war with Russia, to destroy Russia, to deplete Russia, to do what Joe Biden inadvertently said at one point, and that's to have regime change in Russia when he says that Putin's got to go. Well, a more disastrous course of action I cannot imagine. They've got more nuclear weapons than we have. They've got a lot at stake. And by the way, they should be our allies. Back in the early 90s, 92, when the Soviet Union disintegrated and Russia became a free country again, and they were right on the edge of Europe, we could have invited them into NATO. They wanted to. They asked to be joined into the West. We could have incorporated them in the Western economy. We could have done for with the former Soviet Union what we did for the former Nazi government, and that is, after we freed the people and allowed them to have a free form of government, we could have helped them out economically to rebuild their lives and rebuild their country. I think the number is something like one in every seven Russians died defeating Nazi Germany in World War II, and they would have been our absolute allies if we had allowed them to do it. But instead, we kicked dirt in their face. We drove them away. We kept pushing NATO countries closer and closer to Moscow, stationing missiles on the border of Russia. And I heard Robert F. Kennedy Jr. saying that this morning, that if, for example, Mexico had caused the death of 10,000 expatriate Americans and had nuclear weapons staged on our southern border, you think we wouldn't do something to put an end to that problem? That's exactly the situation that we had put the Russians in, giving them no choice but to invade Ukraine to protect themselves against the risk of Ukraine being invited into the UN, NATO and having nuclear weapons placed on their border with Ukraine. But now we're told this stuff, right? We're told that we now have to be upset because Alexei Navalny died in a Russian prison. Well, and then his mother gets on television, and his wife gets on television, and they say, first of all, we heard 2 days ago or so that his body was bruised. And then we were told, oh, nobody's seen his body. And then the wife gets on television and says, well, he died of Novichok, which is a nerve agent that they allegedly tried to poison Navalny with outside of Russia previously. Well, if you haven't seen the body, and they say that the body is being hidden because the longer it takes to release the body, the less we'll be able to prove it was actually this murderous Putin that killed him. But at the same time, the wife is saying, I know what killed him. And the American media reports all these contradictions as if they're true, as if they're fact, as if they're inarguable truth that Putin is a bad guy. And because Putin's a bad guy, we've got to give billions of more dollars to Ukraine, billions of dollars which we are not spending defending our own borders, billions of dollars which we are not spending to stop the flow of fentanyl into the country, which is killing our youth, $60 billion which we're not using to finish the wall to protect our country, $60 billion which we're not using to rebuild our own infrastructure and rebuild our oil and gas industry to where once again we can be energy independent. And guess who's going to change all that if he gets elected? And that's Donald J. Trump. But now we have the United States government, the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Defense, the Department of Justice, all working hand in hand to engage in a conspiracy to create a second coup in this country. I think that 2020 was a coup, but now we've got Donald Trump being charged throughout the country with these totally fictitious crimes. The most bizarre thing is his New York fraud case, where he's been fined, found guilty before trial by the judge, and then fined $354 million plus interest, which will be about $450 million, in a case where he did absolutely nothing wrong, where nobody was damaged, that the banks that were allegedly defrauded happily lent him money and testified that they would lend him more if they had the opportunity to do so. This is no more than a political trial. That, and by the way, you know, the left and the media, which are the same thing, call it political persecution, right? And it is. I mean, the most honest reporting you get from places like Fox will say, of course, and MSNBC and CNN say, oh, he's a fierce, evil dude, and his crimes are so bad he can't possibly get enough punishment. But even Fox will say this is just a political persecution. No, it's not just a political persecution. This is the first wave of what they did in the Soviet Union after 1917. That is, they systematically had show trials of people that they chose to be enemies of the state, which were typically the wealthy people, so the state could seize their assets and put them in the coffers of the government. So here you've got Donald Trump, a developer who applies for loans with banks, and he gives them his estimates, not made by him, not controlled by him, but controlled by his real estate appraisers, give them to the bank saying, these are my assets, I'm applying for lending, like we all do. The bank does their own due diligence, this case Deutsche Bank, and comes in and testifies, we did our own due diligence. We were perfectly satisfied with the capital that he's putting up for these loans. We lent him the money and he paid us back with interest, and if he wanted more money, we'd give him more money. And yet, this judge in New York State awards $354 million plus interest at 9%. You try to get a 9% loan these days, interest on your loans, for having done absolutely nothing wrong. And this is not the United States of America. This is the Soviet Union. This is a place where if you tell the truth, like Rudy Giuliani did in Georgia, you can get found liable for $83 million to some poll workers in Georgia that nobody ever heard of before. Nobody will ever hear of again, but they claim that they were defamed and that their defamation is worth $83 million. It is such crap. And by the way, what's everybody upset about Alexei Navalny? I can never pronounce his name because I never heard of it before. Because he died in prison. What does every leftist, what does every deep state person, what does every newscaster outside of Fox TV want in this world more than anything in the world? For Donald J. Trump to go to jail and die in prison. So the very same news sources that are saying, oh, how horrible it is that a Russian dissident should die in prison in Russia, those same people go to bed every night praying to whatever devil they worship that Donald Trump goes to jail and dies in prison. Well, I'm not sure that this is going to get reversed. I'm not sure that you can trust the Court of Appeals. I'm not sure that you can trust the Supreme Court or the ultimate court in New York State because they're all corrupt. But then you've got the Republican Party, right? This is a party that I vote for. But how can you trust the Republican Party? All the Republican Party is good at now is shooting itself in the foot. On the morning after the special election in New York, I spoke with George Santos, and the first thing he says, what a total F-up, right? Here he's got a guy who had a great conservative voting record in Congress, who won a very Democrat district by 5%, who would have won twice. He won that election to Congress in New York. And then what does the Republican Party do? They put up a lady who was a registered Democrat who can barely speak English to run as a Republican against a Democrat who's running as a Republican, who's against unlimited immigration, who's sounds very middle of the road compared to the registered Democrat that the Republicans put up against him. And what do we do the same week? The Republicans impeach Alejandro Mayorkas, the director of Homeland Security, when they know there is not a snowball's chance in hell that the Senate's ever going to convict him of anything. They could barely get enough Republicans in the House of Representatives to vote for impeachment. And what is this going to do? This is going to give the Democrats, in an election year, an opportunity to say, look, these Republicans are only doing this for political advantage, that they have no evidence of any corruption, no evidence of any treasonous activity on the part of our great director of Homeland Security. And by the way, the entire so-called invasion of the border is a Republican manufactured fraud, and you need to punish the Republicans for being such mean-spirited, dishonest people trying to ruin this wonderful man's life out of pure fiction. At some point, you got to wake up and realize that, as I said earlier in this show, when it happens in politics, it's not a coincidence. We don't have a Republican Party working for the preservation of our republic. We have a Republican Party which is working for the preservation of their positions in Congress, the preservation of their positions in power, the preservation of their future million-dollar lobbying contracts when they get done being dishonest in Congress so they can go on and become even bigger treasonous sons of guns as lobbyists down the road. Well, what's the topic of political prisoners about in this country, right? Why are we talking about, Russian political prisoners? Well, Zelensky had a Chilean American citizen dissident imprisoned, tortured, and killed in his prisons. And Alzano Lira, you don't hear his name, but you don't hear Ashley Babbitt's name much either. You don't hear the names of all the January Sixers that have committed suicide out of the stress of being put in the D.C. gulag and being potentially sentenced to decades in prison for doing no more than a trespass, which would cost you or me a $150 fine and not even a night in jail. And what do they call the D.C., the Capitol Police officers that committed suicide after January 6th? They claim that they died in the line of duty, even though what they did was commit suicide. Well, that would, by analogy, make the January 6th defendants that committed suicide rather than go to prison as people that died in the line of duty of protecting their republic against this tyranny. And what General McEnany said is true. I believe that the vast majority of everybody who was doing anything but peacefully protesting that day were either government provocateurs or people egged on by them, and they certainly don't deserve decades in prison or years in prison or even days in prison for walking peacefully around and some walking peacefully through the Capitol building. But like I say, the mainstream media, the deep state, has now taught us to accept as norm absolute hypocrisy, absolute double standard of, we will create rules for you, but not for us. We will prosecute you for the same crimes that we commit while letting ourselves do whatever we damn well please, and we will create a need to go to war, a potentially world-destroying third world war, and use as the excuse an invasion of Ukraine, which we created. We created a coup in Ukraine in 2014 to create the government, which is now the most corrupt government in Europe, to provoke the Russians to go in so that we could then have a proxy war against the Russians, so that we can then enter into that endless global conflict that people like Liz Cheney and our new Liz Cheney, Nikki Haley, are just dying for every day. And so, ladies and gentlemen, do not tolerate this. Open your minds. Look at the facts. Don't believe the stuff you're told in the media. Don't listen to the news. Don't listen to Nikki Haley. The one thing we can do to save this country is elect Donald Trump, and hopefully he will live long enough to allow him to live to see his second term as president, and he'll clean house. And by God, if he put me in there, I'd pull the truth out of these people, and some people would see very serious consequences for that invisible treason in America.
This is Mark McCloskey on Fire. Pressure.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.